Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Only hear myself limits. Thank you. We have a big Wednesday show. Myself in studio, Austin City Limits, Bechtold to my left, and what a man he's become. And without further ado, I really don't have anything to say, about my life or anything. Not that it's interesting anyway. I just want to get to sports today. Are you ready for that?
Can I say one quick thing on traffic?
No.
Okay.
Please. Yes.
Again, on my road, there are two different sets of construction in the same spot. And I'm just over it, Joe. That's all.
Over the traffic.
Yes.
Yeah, well, you're
over
not
the construction.
Over it. Clearly, why is it so hot in here? Crowley wasn't even here today. It's like 75 degrees in here.
Crowley usually adjusts the temperature.
You look great. Your hair looks great. Let's get to sports and let's get to a six pack. It's our Wednesday six pack brought to you by Bet365. Crack one, would you please? Thank you, Limits. The Pirates have been officially eliminated from the playoffs, and you thought they were still in it, didn't you? So how do we look back upon this Pirate season? I'll tell you how we look back on it, Limits. I was thinking about this today. You and I had a brief conversation about this today. What if Paul Skeens didn't happen? How much of their ills and how much of the bad vibes does he mask? The arrival of Skeens is so historically significant, is so great, that it almost paints the entire season in a different light. If that's a phrase I could use. He makes it so that you can't say this has been a horrible season. Yeah, but Paul Skeens arrived, so it was great and or good or better than horrible anyway. They're one game ahead of last year's pace. If Skeens wasn't here, first of all, they'd be way behind last year's pace. Second of all, what other developments have made you say, wow, I can't wait for the future? Maybe a little Jared Jones?
That's about it.
Joey Bart? Joey Bart? I mean, if Joey Bart is the biggest story of the year other than Skeens for hope, to inject hope into our veins for the future, then I think we're all in trouble. All respect to Joey Bart. He had a wonderful year. Maybe a little bit of Nick Gonzalez? I don't know. But as I look back on this, now that they've been eliminated, minus Skeens, it's been a total calamity. With Skeens, it's been memorable, but still a bad year. A really bad year. A fireable year for the GM and the manager. At least when I say fireable, I'm saying one could easily justify moving on from both. That's how I feel about the Pirates season now that they've been eliminated. You?
I agree with all of that.
Every syllable I just said?
And half syllable.
What about the quarter syllables?
I think it's more so this season is a disappointing one more than any because of the promise that was showed early on in the season, really as soon as Skeens got here. Because for a large portion of the year, they were over 500 with Paul Skeens before that took a significant turn right after the All-Star break. Having Skeens, obviously great thing. Having Jared Jones, obviously great. But what this season is more about for me is decision-making with in-game decisions, and partly because of the bullpen and how bad David Bednar was this year and Colin Holderman after the first couple months of the year. Aroldis Chapman, good at times, also had some hiccups. And some of the other pieces that were supposed to be relied upon in the bullpen, either not here, Dari Moretta, Ryan Barucki, hurt or ineffective.
The season as a whole limits. How do you look back on it? Give it a grade.
I give it a D-.
Fireable, then.
Fireable
for everyone
type
involved.
Of season. Because I thought they could win 85 games and sneak into the final wild card. That's what I projected because I thought Skeens would have that big of an impact. Henry Davis would hit and Jack Sawinski would hit. And the latter two did not and are struggling in AAA or injured.
And the more I think about it, it's a big deal if they finish with fewer wins than last year. It just is because that becomes... Either way, either, hey, you know, we improved a little bit, or they didn't even match last year. With Skeens, it becomes an entire off-season talking point. Every time the Pirates come up, it's either they took a step back or they took a little step forward. And there's a huge difference in beginning a conversation that way. There is.
And they have to go 5-6 to match last year's win total. This is a complete and utter failure. And any other assessment of it is wrong. It's a failure.
You're right.
It's a complete failure of a season.
And we're both right. It's a complete failure of a season. A complete blanking failure. You or I could have picked Skeens, although I will say they made the right choice there. Skeens over Dylan Cruz, I think. You know, it's a long career, but he is the greatest rookie pitcher maybe who ever lived.
The greatest Pirates, or it's the greatest rookie, I think, in Pittsburgh sports history to ever live.
But you're supposed to pick great players when you're at the top of the draft. You just are, and he was on the board. Other than that, like, what has you pumped about the Pirates right now? Maybe the rotation next season? Skeens, Keller, Jones, maybe Chandler? Maybe that, for sure. But it's not like, aside from Skeens, there were gigantic steps taken this year. How do you come back and have a worse season when you add Skeens?
Well, and here's the problem. Ow. Here's the problem too, Joe. Looking ahead to next year, what is your confidence level that they are going to add a couple bats of significance to help this lineup?
Significance is the key phrase there. But it's zero because of Ben Cherington.
What I think they're going to do is just, we'll run it back with Cabrian Hayes at third. Kiner Falefa at shortstop, I guess he's fine, even though his batting average dropped like 20 points since coming over here and being in a batting race.
You can go across the diamond.
Brian De La Cruz, this most significant disappointment of anybody at the trade deadline, I think.
It's very depressing.
Who's your first baseman? That can go on and on.
Next. So we have an ending and we have a beginning. The Penguinis open training camp today, and I may be one of the few people in the hockey world and in this town who's bullish on the Penguins. I am. I think that if you have players who simply play to their pedigree, this is a good roster. I mean, Erik Karlsson has to be a star. He's got to be better on the power play. He's got to be more consistent. Maybe he fits in a little better this season. He's the sixth highest paid player in the league. Tristan Jarry has a $28 million contract. He's made the All-Star game twice. I think he's a talented kid. I'm not predicting that he'll be good all year, but he certainly has it within him to do that, and I like their goalie combination. Alexander the Great is back as his backup and maybe his competitor. So you start there. I think they have a really good goalie combination. I think a lot of teams in the NHL would like to begin their defense pairings with Marcus Pettersson and Erik Karlsson and then go to Chris Letang on your second pair. I happen to believe a lot of people would like that. Ryan Graves is making tons of money. Can he at least just be usable? Can he be Ben Lovejoy? Can you give me that, Ryan? I think a lot of teams would like to start, though, with those three defensemen as their top three. Even if you might have the wrong Sebastian Aho on your third pair. And then I know a lot of teams would like to open with a top line of Crosby, Rust, and take your pick. Raquel, I don't know, O'Connor. Raquel's another guy making a lot of money who's a good player. I happen to believe, in a very educated belief, that he was hurt for most of last year. I think the bottom six can be better. Rucker McGroarty is here, and he has potential. He might have second-line potential. Geno is a huge key. Will he play to his pedigree and salary? Can he still do it? I don't think it's impossible that he can. He's not a guy that's going to carry a team anymore. But this is a talented roster. It is. I think that doesn't feel like an opinion. It feels like a fact. How about the guys who have the pedigree and are making all the money live up to it or close to it? And I'll tell you another thing about the Penguins. They were historically wretched on the power play last season. If you went by proportion of talent to production, that might have been the worst power play in the history of the league. Talent to production, the worst ever. That is not an exaggeration. Combine that with the top-end talent they have and their hideous play in overtime. And I would posit, and that's a pretty good word. Do you think so, Limits? Posit?
I agree.
I would posit that if they're merely average on the power play and in overtime, when all those points are at stake, they're going to be comfortably in the playoffs. They're going to be a playoff team if they merely rise from historically horrendous to average. Then I start to think, all right, well, what if they go to good or great in those simple two areas of the game? Power play and overtime. What if they're good? What if they're great? I don't think that's a crazy thought. Then you're really talking. I'm with Matt Fensel of the Post-Gazette. I think the Penguins are going to make the playoffs and maybe win a round. You?
I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs at this point unless they make another significant addition to the top six. I like Rucker McGroarty. I'm excited to see what he brings. Especially, they have to put him on the top six. He has to be with, I would think Malkin is maybe where he'll fit.
Probably Malkin and Bunting, but yeah. But you take him off and pop Drew O'Connor in there. You know, maybe open with Raquel, Crosby, Rust. Bunting, Malkin, and old Rutger. Or you drop him and put O'Connor somewhere in your mix up
Joe,
there.
My biggest concern is still with Tristan Jarry.
Yeah. All right. You have a good alternate in Nedeljkovic, right?
I think that Jarry is just too inconsistent for me. And I realize he's made all-star games. Shutout records, whatever. He's inconsistent, and especially down the stretch, Tristan Jarry does not play his best hockey.
No, he's been horrendous.
He's not healthy.
Yes, I agree with that.
That's why I think the $5 million just isn't worth it, and I would have tried to trade him in the offseason.
And I don't blame you for that one bit. Like I said, I'm not predicting that he's going to eradicate his troubles, especially in the clutch. This guy is not exactly Mr. Clutch in the playoffs or down the stretch these past two seasons.
Like, wouldn't Joel Blomquist be a good idea to just have him up here to begin the year and have him just kind of ease into the NHL?
Yoel. That's Yoel to you.
Is it Yoel?
I don't know. I've heard people call him
Blomquist.
Yoel, Joel, Blomquist. He's one of these guys, you know, these hockey snobs will get on you for mispronouncing his name, to which I'll then say, go listen to 18 different broadcasts of people who have been doing these games their whole career. They all say the name differently. Why am I angry about that? I think the Penguins are going to be better than expected. I think this is a good roster. I think Tristan Jarry, it's about time to play to your talent level for a whole year, buddy. Let's go.
I think the roster's fine. The roster is playoff capable. But, Joe, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin have played 82 games back-to-back seasons, and they haven't made the playoffs.
I know.
That is a significant concern for me. Those guys are out there every single night
And they're not finding ways to win.
For reasons I just mentioned.
They're finding ways to lose. Remember the puck in the back of their own net against Arizona? I just can't forget about that.
Oh, my God. Was that incredible.
Horrible.
Do you have a replay of that? Find a replay of that. That was one of the most amazing moments in hockey history.
Amazing and all the negative connotations.
Wait, it's all coming back to me now. It was Letang on a drop pass. That Gino flubbed. Is that what happened?
Yes, I remember. It was like late in the third or something. I don't remember what period
it was.
Yeah,
the net was empty. Of course,
I was going to bed. I was like, oh, it's over. And then I'm looking at my phone, and I keep seeing everybody tweeting, "Oh no! Oh no! Oh no!"
And then Jari scored a goal last year. Do you remember that?
Yes, he did.
And then we came in the next day, and Ron said it was a selfish move in one of Ron's all-time old man yells at clouds soliloquies. You just got to bury the puck there. You got to pass it. He was selfish for shooting it down the ice. Can't believe he did it.
This upcoming penalty on Arizona, thanks to a shorthanded 2-on-1 with Rustin Achari. They didn't score. Oh my goodness, they just did on themselves.
What a great call. What a great way to weave that in there. Oh, my God, they just did on themselves. I need to hear that again. And this is a service to Penguins fans out there.
Are you sure it's a service to Penguins fans?
It's we're exercising last year in the getting rid of Satan.
The demons. Sense.
Yeah, we're going to exercise the demons. We'll play this one last time, and then we'll move on. And I honestly believe what I'm saying here. I like this bottom six, the possibilities, really the bottom eight or nine. I think there's guys that there's competition, which I think is important going into camp. There's real legitimate competition in the bottom six, which brings out the best in people, I think. And they have some talent. They have some different guys this year in that bottom six. Lars Eller, I see listed here at dailyfaceoff.com, which has great depth charts. As your number four center, I like that. I think Kevin Hayes has a chance to be a good player. I forgot about Achari. He's still here. The kid they brought in, Beauvillier from Tampa Bay. Look at his goal scoring numbers. You know, you need a certain percentage of these guys to hit. There's more of them, which gives you a chance to hit that percentage.
Could I interest you in Cody
Glass? I
like
this roster. You can interest me in Cody Glass. Damn right you can. You might even be able to interest me in one Blake Lizotte, if that's his name.
What about Matt Grzelcyk and Sebastian Aho?
I believe that's Blake Lizotte. Who?
Sebastian Aho's on the team.
I told you.
Yes.
Sebastian Aho. I think he's one of the greatest players in history.
Oh, Marcus Peterson. He's named after the event center at Pitt.
So let's do the exorcism.
Chris Letang. Matt. Oh,
come
boy,
on.
There's a Z
let's
in there.
Let's go.
Let's do
the exorcism here. Where is this coming from? This is coming from TV.
Yes. Sportsnet Pittsburgh, Josh Getzoff.
Josh Getzoff. This is a great
call. This upcoming penalty on Arizona, thanks to a shorthanded 2-on-1 with Rustin Achari. They didn't score. Oh, my goodness. They just did on themselves.
For dramatic effect, just blaring in the background always makes it so much worse.
I was going to say the guy on the horn, maybe it was Patrick Hornquist, was unbelievable there. It was all over it. Like he could have looked away. You don't expect a goal to be scored when the other team has the puck in their own end with an empty net. He was all over that, wasn't he? Limits?
That was such a disaster. I just can't get over it. And it perfectly encapsulates what the last 2 years have been.
It really
missed
does.
Missed opportunities.
And we shall never play that again.
Throwing up on
yourself.
And we might
play it from, time to time. But not for a long time are we going to play that. It's a new start. And I don't see why the Penguins can't have a good season. I don't. And I think they will. Crack one, would you please? This one popped to mind this morning. Is it Sierra? Is that Russell Wilson's wife?
Yes.
Sierra. I was going to say it through the Ron Cook thing. I won't there. This really, for some reason, moved me. There was a couple photos in the Trib this morning of Russell Wilson and Sierra over at Children's Hospital.
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, my God. The one little girl hugging Sierra was, it just melted me.
Yeah.
Like, and this is Steelers, Pirates, Penguins, Pitt, you know, when these athletes go over there, it's the greatest impact of sports there can possibly be. The I don't know what it was, joy of this little girl's hug. And you have Sierra was sitting there with this girl just clutching onto her. And it melted me. And Sierra was taking a selfie of those two together. Wow, is what I say to that.
Yeah, and with Russell Wilson too, like, say what you want about Russell Wilson, the football player, whatever they say in Denver and Seattle about the person. There is no doubt that Russell Wilson, the man, is built on family, such a good faith-based man, and like caring for people. He's a very good, genuine person. And you could tell that is just riveting throughout his family as well. And with Sierra, they just seem like really good people. And I feel like that kind of gets lost in the shuffle with Russell Wilson.
There's so many stories. You know, my wife works at UPMC. There's so many stories of athletes doing work like this. Sidney Crosby, a prime example. Troy Polamalu used to have his own parking spot there, for God's sakes. Used to have his own parking spot. He would go over there so often. So a shout out to all the local athletes, whether it's Children's Hospital or anywhere, the work they do off the field and, you know, with children who are suffering in one way or another, it's especially meaningful. And those photos are something else. Next. Thank you, Limits. It's not exactly a giant week in local college football. We have Penn State going against Kent State.
Big game there.
Which lost a 71-0 squeaker to Tennessee after the Pitt game. They stink. Then we have Pitt Youngstown State, and unless Paul Christ comes walking through that door, I'm feeling pretty good about Pitt in this one to have their first unbeaten non-conference schedule ever because they didn't join a conference till 91. And then the Fighting Adam Crowleys play Kansas, who had a little bit of a rebirth there. I've kind of lost track of them, but I know they stink now. They're 1-2. Their only win is against Lindenwood. I thought that was a golf course. Did they play the caddies over at Lindenwood Golf Course? What the hell is Lindenwood? Have you ever heard of that?
I have, but I think I've only heard of them through like basketball, not football.
Lindenwood?
Lindenwood, yes.
It's actually a nice course.
Ask me where Lindenwood is.
In Bethel Park, I believe. Or thereabouts.
I'm at the college.
Oh, no idea.
No, I don't either.
You've never heard of it. You lied.
No, I have heard of them. Isn't their logo like a Bronco?
I just told you I've never heard of them, so how would I know what their logo is?
I thought you were looking at the
matchup. All right,
look
them up, the Lindenwood Broncos, while I talk here. The bottom line is that it's not a big week unless somebody loses one of these games.
They're in Missouri. When you look up Lindenwood, the first thing that comes up is the golf course.
What's their nickname? The Lindenwood what? Are you right? Is it the Broncos? Now I'm curious about this. If Neil Brown loses to Lindenwood, he should be working at the Bethel Park Lindenwood by Monday morning.
They're the Lions.
The Lindenwood Lions.
Lindenwood Lions.
That's a game, WVU Lindenwood. You throw out the records for that one, right? And then I don't see any conceivable scenario by which Penn State could lose to Kent State. Kent State is horrific. What's Youngstown State done this year? Did they lose?
They lost to Duquesne.
They lost to Duquesne?
Yes.
So this might be one of the all-time cream puff weeks for those three teams combined. They beat Valparaiso, though. And you knew they were going to be good this season. So I'm thinking all three will win. I'm thinking Neil Brown will still have a job. And I'm thinking the big story there to me is Pitt, right? The big story there is Pitt, which could be 4-0 going into its ACC schedule. Never happened before in the non-conference. That's a big deal.
And the ACC schedule for Pitt this year, I mean, there's a lot of winnable games out there. Again, there are a lot of teams in the ACC that are just kind of not good. Clemson falling back to the pack considerably. If you look at the start of the schedule, North Carolina, Cal, Syracuse, SMU, Pitt will play a Clemson team that won't even be ranked at home later on this year, at least I don't think so. Louisville, Boston College is a little bit better than we all thought. That's the final game of the year.
They have a lot of opportunities early on in the schedule. And I know Carolina's undefeated, but there's some wins out there.
I'm a little unsure, I should say, of some of those ACC teams because several of them are unbeaten right now, too. I don't know how good they are. It seems like Pitt's schedule is hardly daunting. We'll see.
Like, is Cal forward, good? Like, they beat Auburn?
I don't know if they are. We'll see. Next. God bless me. Mike Tomlin yesterday. Lots to talk about here. With the Steelers and a big game coming up against the fighting Jim Harbaughs. He mentioned that Broderick Jones is still going to get a chance here, that as the leader of the team, you know, it's incumbent upon me to give a guy like this still a chance. And then I see a headline in the Post-Gazette today that would lead you to believe that this guy will get a chance, if only I could find it, right? I'm not so sure that's the case. Are you? He has to move past it. Mike Tomlin giving Broderick Jones a chance to remain in the Steelers' OL rotation. Where and when? They'd be nuts at this point to take Fatano out of a game. PFF, love him or hate him, had him having a great game against Denver. The eye test would tell you he had at least a good one. And we all know about Dan Moore. They're going to give him a stake in the franchise and sign him to an $800 million contract. He's not going anywhere. So where is Broderick Jones going to play? I'm very curious about this.
He is going to be reintroduced to the world and changed his name to Zach Banner. That is going to be his new role. Come in the run game a couple times, play some snaps.
It's a banner year in the Bender household, I'll tell you that.
When Zach Banner used to become eligible, he'd let everybody know, the crowd would go wild. Zach Banner's in the game. He became a fan favorite. Broderick Jones will become the next Zach Banner, according to Mike Tomlin, apparently. He'll come in, play a couple snaps, help in the run game, and that's it.
I'll parrot you on everything you just said. And then Tomlin says yesterday, someone asked about and I like this phrase, will Broderick continue to cross-train between right and left tackle? And he said, yeah, that was going to be his role even if he was a starter. What?
That doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean? I don't know what that means.
I think what that means is that Broderick Jones in their mind...
What it means is that he's afraid to say that Broderick Jones is benched.
Well, that
either
too.
We're pissed at the guy for how he's playing or for other reasons. So we now have Hokey and Kabali both questioning this guy's intensity. They've both questioned it. I don't know if that's true. But I'm paying attention to what they say. We all saw the preseason game. We all saw the game the other day. Is he hurt? Is he a bust? Is he not as intense as he should be? Is it any of that? Is it normal right now? It doesn't feel that way for this to be a normal thing for a second-year guy that you drafted up to take and who played pretty well last year, right? He played pretty well at right tackle. This doesn't seem normal in any case, and I feel like Tomlin is trying to normalize it. It's not normal, and he's not playing anytime soon.
Well, I feel
at
like
least other than as, you know, in your jumbo package or something, like you said.
Tomlin did a bad job of saying that Broderick Jones, at least in his mind, I think this is what he was trying to say, is the best player that we think could play both left and right tackle. Which at the same, because we know Dan Moore just cannot play the position at right tackle, he'd probably fall over. But that doesn't make sense to me because Troy Faltanu was a starting left tackle at Washington for how many years on the best offensive line in college football?
I don't care.
And he's really good at right
far? If the best thing the head coach can say about Broderick Jones more than a year into his career is, yeah, we really like the fact he can play right and left, but he doesn't start at either. It's just something is very off here. Something's very wrong, Limits. Very wrong. Why, thank you. Here's a hot one. I mean, this is a hot story right now. It's going to be a great game tonight. A great match, I should say. And it leads to a question for me. It's volleyball. It's women's volleyball, which has become a very popular sport in terms of television viewers. A lot of you might have seen the game last year. I think it was Nebraska, Wisconsin, with over 100,000 fans. It's gigantically popular among girls in this area and every area. This sport is just rising. I was told this morning there's going to be a crowd of 10,000 plus, a record for volleyball for the Pete. Maybe a record How much does the Pete hold it for basketball?
No, about 15,000 or so.
So a record for volleyball for the Pete. And my question is, this is number one Pitt against number three Penn State. When does a sport that hasn't been in the mainstream cross the, is Rubicon a word I want to use here?
It's actually 12,500 seats. So that's a lot of seats that they're filling up for volleyball.
Well, I don't know if they're filling that many for volleyball. I don't know. I went to a Pitt official this morning. I'll give you the text.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying what the capacity is at the Peterson Event Center. I thought it was more like 15,000. It's 12,500. So having 10,000 as the estimated number of what could be there today, that's a lot. It's almost filling up the entire building.
Yes. I said, is the volleyball game a sellout? This nice man said, anticipated 10K plus, which would be a Pitt all-time record.
I'm going to be there.
That's all I can tell you. You're going to be there.
I'm going. Yeah, I'm going tonight.
I may go.
You should.
I may go to that game.
You should come and sit with me.
Jason Bumbliss is going. And so is Bo Klin.
I don't know them.
You should. They're the beat writers.
Introduce me.
They'll be at the game. I will tonight. In fact, I'm going to make sure that you say hello to both of them and their daughters, who are both volleyball players.
Sounds good.
My question is, when is Rubicon the right word? That's my first question. The Rubicon. That's like crossing a river, crossing a threshold.
Up. Yeah.
Let's use the word threshold. The threshold from sort of side sport, low profile sport, sport we have in the back of our minds, secondary sport, to the mainstream, to where we're talking about Pitt volleyball, like the players and what happened in the game. Do we get to that point? When do we get to that point? I've seen this a couple times in my life with different sports. I never caught on to them. Like boxing got replaced by what?
UFC.
UFC. That happened. That's way more
popular.
Is it more popular than boxing?
It's more popular than boxing. Yes.
Okay. Like, it's a national sport.
Yeah,
people
MMA.
Love it. MMA, right. I saw that happen. I think it's happened with other sports. Women's basketball is another one.
Getting huge. I think it's the Caitlin Clark effect over the last year and a half, 2 years.
I saw where Indiana Fever's total attendance this year was 600,000, which was 200,000 more than any other team in WNBA history for
Caitlin
a season.
Caitlin Clark effect.
Right, and others. I mean, it's great basketball, but for sure her. She has transformed it. People talk about that now. That's one I've switched to. You ask me WNBA questions, I'll have a very educated answer. I watched both games last night. I was watching Diana Taurasi in maybe one of her final regular season games ever against the Sparks. And then I was watching Seattle earlier in the night.
And they keep adding teams to the WNBA.
Seattle against Vegas. And Vegas has all-stars left and right. So that's, for me, and I think for a lot of people, an example of a sport. And I define it, I define the crossing of the threshold as, we're talking about this as if we would be talking about the Penguin Steelers Pitt. We're talking about personnel moves. We're talking about game strategies. Does volleyball get there? Should we be talking about this tomorrow if it's an epic five-set match or something? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm a talk show host. I don't know where to go with it. Is there a buzz around town? I mean, it's significant to me that there's going to be 10,000 plus watching the game.
Yeah, it's Pitt-Penn State tonight. Like, that's a big matchup. And I don't think what some people realize is Pitt is number one in the country for the first time ever. Penn State is number three in the country. Like, this is huge.
Let's talk about that.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Some breaking news here that's very interesting to me. Nelly came in here. Charles. With Wojo. I don't know how to say Adrian's last name. What's his name from ESPN?
Adrian Wojnarowski.
Wojnarowski.
I think that might be wrong, but everybody just calls him Woj.
Yeah, just call him Woj.
Wojnarowski.
He's stepping down as the Adam Schefter of NBA News to become the general manager of St. Bonaventure basketball.
Basketball. Yeah, he's going to oversee some NIL stuff for St. Bonaventure.
Does that seem like a slight step down?
Just a little bit. He must be compensated decently well, if that's the move he's making. He said his first byline was 37 years ago. I didn't realize he had been in the business that long.
How old is he?
Well, that's what I was wondering. I thought he was in his maybe late 40s.
I think he's older than that.
He is.
He's 55. So, all right, maybe this is sort of, you know, a lot less pressure. I mean, it'd be one thing if you were going to be the GM of Duke basketball. No offense to St. Bonaventure, which is a school that I absolutely love.
He's a St. Bonaventure alum. So that explains
Bonnie.
A lot.
Not far from Buffalo. Really not that far from Pittsburgh. When you get right down to it, you can get there in, I think, like 3 hours or so. 3.5. This is interesting to me, though, on a lot of levels. It is. First of all, As I was reading the report, I saw he's going to become general manager, and I thought I was going to see general manager of the Detroit Pistons or something. But colleges now are hiring general managers to handle all this stuff.
Yeah, reading general manager of men's basketball at St. Bonaventure, you think, what? Like, you put a question mark right next to it. Because, like, what does a college basketball team need for a general manager? Like the AD can't take care of, or the amount of coaches that they have on the coaching staff. This has to be all about recruitment with NIL, making sure that whatever, like for Pitt and Oakland Originals and everything that contributes with Alliance 412 with Pitt, that's pretty much, I guess, what Woj is going to be doing at St. Bonaventure,
well,
maybe as the middleman there.
Does Pitt have a general manager?
No. No, well, but what I'm saying
is, this is one of the things that Heather Like was sort of accused of on her way out, was not embracing NIL like
yes.
It should be embraced. So this is interesting. The statement from Jimmy Pitaro, the chairman at ESPN: I've known and admired Woj since we first worked together at Yahoo in 2007. His work ethic second to none. Very talented, fearless, led the industry at ESPN. And while we'll miss his daily output, we completely understand his decision to make a lifestyle change and slow down a bit. We know he'll continue to thrive in his next chapter. How about this?
He broke all the NBA news.
He really did. And that leads to my other question here. Is he the greatest breaking news reporter of the social media era? Who's better, him or Schefter? Are those the only two that come to mind?
Yeah, Rappaport's pretty good too.
He's not in that ballpark.
No. Ken Rosenthal used to. Jeff Passan now, but I mean the longevity that Woj had, whether it be it.
It's Woj and
Yahoo,
Schefter. Pick one.
And the ESPN. I'll take Woj.
I'm going to take Woj. Maybe because the NFL market is saturated with other guys who are not, to me at least, nearly on Schefter's level, but it's so widespread and breaking news comes from it. Maybe that actually makes his case better. That when you have so many local reporters embedded and known nationally for breaking news, you know what I mean? Not to mention the national guys. Schefter still breaks tons and tons of stories. But there's also Jay Glazer comes to mind, too.
And
guys like that.
Tom Pelissero. And there's Mike Garofolo, who have emerged in the last couple of years from just the NFL Network.
So I'm going to go, in the end, I'm going to go Woj, though.
I'll go Woj because Shams Charania is the only other guy in the NBA who breaks significant news. I mean, Brian Windhorst, I guess a little bit because he's kind of LeBron's guy.
All right. Top of the hour, we have Brian Batko. He has an interesting take on the Broderick Jones quote from the other day about, if I'm not starting, I probably shouldn't be playing. I'm interested to hear that and all things Steelers from Dr. Batko. The fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And now it's time for Starkey's Card of the Week. A huge moment on the show each week, brought to us by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry and our friend General Patton, Jeff Patton. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday, right around noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That's your chance to win the card or cards of the week. Excuse me? Limits, who do you have as your guest for card of the week?
I'm going to go, as he chases a 50-50 season, Shohei Ohtani of the Dodgers.
What a wonderful pick by you. I'm going to go with Rucker McGroarty with the Penguins starting training camp. General, how are you? What do you got?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me today. Both good picks. Lots of stuff going on in the baseball card world. Football getting started has been exciting.
I was kind of kidding on old Rutger, but I thought I'd throw that in there. Please proceed. Well,
let's go a different direction in Penguins. How do you not pay homage to 87? Sid re-upping again. We're giving out a fantastic card this week. I got a Sidney Crosby 2005 Upper Deck Victory rookie card. Very sought-after card. And you know what's really breathtaking about that statement is to think about it being 2005, that he's been a part of
amazing.
The Pittsburgh community for 20 years. It's an amazing thing.
It really is. You should have picked that limit.
I thought about it.
No, you didn't.
No, I actually did because of the contract extension at the beginning of the week.
Yeah, I should have picked it, too.
I thought it was too easy of
an answer. What's he doing in the card?
It's a shot from his mid-ice, shot from the belt up. Tight shot, white Penguins uniform. The reason why I even actually wanted to honor him is, you know, with all the stuff that goes around, maybe we take Sid for granted a little. Not only is he perpetually great, but he's perpetually loyal, which isn't exactly, not just a sports thing, a world thing anymore. And I just hope we don't take him for granted.
Very well said. And thank you, General.
Yes, sir. You guys have a great week. Thank you.
You too, man.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.